This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Is DCR.
When you date your eventual wife or a girlfriend you really like, you'll do anything, right? So Sherry was like, let's go running in Central Park. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds like a great idea. Now, she's run 4 marathons. You ever run Central Park? We ran for a loop around the reservoir.
No.
We run around the loop, and she's like, did you love that? I was like, yeah, it was great. She's like, you want to do another one? I was like, no. I was recovering on the verge of death. Rick Pitino is right there, and he's like, not feeling well. How pal? I was like, no. He actually is like, you mind if I run with her to keep her company? I was like, no, go ahead.
I mean, that's a little troubling that Rick Pitino just pops up out of nowhere. We're running at the same time.
This is DCR.
Had I known then what I know now, I would have done the second and third laps on my own. I'd have said, no, Rick, I'm good. You let me do the running here.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So I gave you the one guy that hit on my wife before I even knew her. So that's totally fine. And that was Brendan Fraser. Second one coming up in this hour. The third one is A-list celebrity. A huge celebrity.
All right, so give me a hint before this break, and then give me a hint before the next break.
Okay.
And then I'll try to guess it in that last segment.
Okay. I believe I'm not going to give you a huge hint because I don't want you to get it right off the top.
No, yeah, just give me like a little teaser.
He's a big sports fan,
That's not much help. Let's be honest.
See, I think if I told you the city that he's from, you might get it, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, we'll save that for the next segment. So, big sports fan is the first.
Now, if I give you a movie he's been in, do you prompt? All right, here's what I'll do. He was in a movie titled, and it had an implication with a New York City restaurant.
Movie with New York City restaurant implication.
Yes. Known for a very famous dessert.
Very famous dessert. Okay.
Multiple cream cheeses. Yeah, no, not like a sweet dessert. Not a cream cheese dessert.
Not a cream pie. What is this? Okay, so big sports fan.
Big sports fan in a movie.
In a movie.
Which, at least at some point, they
met at this. I know who it is already.
Do you really?
Yep. I think I know the movie. I think I need the movie at least.
Well, all right. Well, let's let everyone play along with us.
Don't
be a
Rick.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm just telling you. I think I
gave you too much.
Well, no,
I wish I was a genius.
How about Kay yesterday, too? Bringing in Dan Graziano's sound from our show and saying DiPietro, Canty, and the other guy.
Well, I'm sure it didn't affect you. You don't care.
Well, of course I care. It hurts my feelings.
I don't think
you
do.
Like
he can do no wrong. I mean, it's the height of disrespect, but it doesn't bother you because you're on Team K.
Well, I'll always be on Team K. But, I mean, I don't like when friends fight.
I will be honest with you here. I don't even know what we're fighting about.
No, I don't either. I think it's just because you criticized the relationship.
Like, I don't even know. Like, you know, if there's reason to be angry at someone, I have no problem being angry at someone. I don't even know why I'm supposed to be angry at him at this point. I don't even know what this stems from, to be honest. This is more Michael has an issue with me than I have with him. And I'm only becoming agitated because he's kind of being a jerk.
Well, I think part of this has to do with the fact that it seems like Don and Peter just go out of their way to tag team up against Michael.
So you think that he can't take it out on them because they're on the show with him, so he's taking it out on me?
Yeah, I mean, you tend to. I mean, you criticize our relationship, which he doesn't like. I understand.
But okay. Everybody has criticized this relationship.
Well, because you're calling us frauds, and we don't like that. I mean, this is a true relationship.
I didn't say it's fraudulent. I just said it doesn't make sense.
Why does every relationship have to make sense? How does your relationship with Sherry make sense?
Well, that's what
she's
he
got,
says.
I mean, she's got A-list celebrities.
Yeah, A-list.
A-list.
Yeah.
At her beck and call. You got Rick Pitino that just decides he wants to run laps with her around Central Park.
That's
and
right.
She still chooses you. Makes no sense to anybody. But we don't bring it up. We don't criticize it. We're happy for you. You should be happy for Kay and I.
You know, this is funny. So a buddy of mine sends me a text, and he guesses someone, which is not right, but in retrospect, did hit on Sherry as well. That could be added to this list.
What kind of vibe is she giving out that everyone just hits on Sherry?
I don't know.
I don't understand what we're doing.
In retrospect, I don't feel great about it, but it's kind of cool to wear that as a weapon, right? Well, my wife was hit on by this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. I kind of like that.
I guess you can kind of like that, but it also, I mean, it's... I mean, you can start raising some eyebrows here. Like, what are we doing? Like, what kind of vibe are we getting?
She's a nice woman. She's very friendly, and I think that guys are... And she's pretty, right? You would agree with that. She's pretty.
Yeah, she's beautiful, but maybe a little bit too...
Like
friendly.
That kind of party!
Maybe a little bit too available.
So now, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you who this one was, and now I'm going to tease the next one for later in the hour.
Okay, tell me who this one was.
All right. Well, you said you know, so go ahead. Who was it?
John Cusack.
That's right.
Yes!
That's right.
The dessert was too much. Once you told me movie with the dessert, that was
so
too
you knew
much.
Serendipity, right?
Exactly right.
Oh, damn.
Cassie loves that place.
The frozen hot chocolate
she
is...
She loves the frozen hot chocolate.
How good is the frozen hot chocolate there?
It's delicious.
It really is. All right, so when we return from our next break, we will do the third of four celebrities that have hit on my wife.
I just want you to know I got this smoking this hot wife out here.
And there you have it. All right, so let's turn our attention to be serious for a moment. This Aaron Boone stuff, and, you know, we all look at athletes as they're figures on our TV, or they're guys we root for or can't stand or hope success or failure or whatever the case may be. But you forget that they're human beings and it's real life. And I'm sure you guys feel like this even more so than I do because you were on the other side of this thing. And this Aaron Boone story is it's so concerning and so upsetting. And he is a human being and he's a nice guy. And what rings true to me, we're the same age. So it sounds like he's going to be okay having the pacemaker put in, but that's scary stuff, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, it's really scary. I mean, he's coming off, I mean, he's had open heart surgery before, and I mean, dealing with, he said, you know, fatigue, lightheadedness and everything else. I mean, he did the right thing and got checked up, and I mean, everything, thank God, went well, and he'll be back. But yeah, I mean, at 48 years old, he'll be 48 on March 9th.
Yeah.
Having to deal with this, yeah. But I mean, again, As an athlete, like I was actually reading something this morning about Dame Lillard, and he was making the point, like, you have no idea what I'm playing through right now. Because the expectation from a fan is all that stuff going on in an athlete's life, he's got to put that to the side. And when he steps on the field, the court, the ice, whatever it ends up being, is he needs to perform.
No, and nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear excuses. And you're going to probably laugh at me. Do you think that we have a little bit of that with us? Just because... I mean, nobody wants to hear excuses. Nope. Nobody. We turn on the radio at 5 o'clock. Nobody wants to hear that I slept 90 minutes or that I'm in a fight with my wife or that my kids, you know, failed a class. Or like you know, we have to put on a happy face as well. Like, do we get any of that or is the athlete get 50 times more?
No, the athlete gets 50 times more because, it's the amount of coverage you get as an athlete, right? I mean, you're talking about...
Yeah, everything is scrutinized, right?
Everything is scrutinized. And no one... I mean, there's a little piece of you, too, like in an athlete always thinks, like, you know, if I play through an injury, like, I'll get the benefit of the doubt, which is not the case. Like, if you're injured, no one cares that you're injured. You're out there, you're playing.
Right. Like, in fact, I almost think that the opposite. I think the expectation is if you're able to be out there, then I don't want the excuse of how you're not feeling well.
No, exactly right. Like, no one feels bad for you. I mean, I think it was Derek Jeter that said that. If I'm on the field, I'm good enough to play. So if I'm on the ice, the field, whatever it ends up being, I'm good enough to play. I mean, we're having these same conversations about, you know, what Andy Reid was dealing with going into the Super Bowl. Like, it was the expectation from Kansas City Chiefs fans that he'd be able to put what was going on with his son on the back burner and focus on trying to coach to win a Super Bowl. Which is, let's be honest, as a human being, that's an unrealistic expectation.
I don't know how you do it. And I give guys a lot of credit because I think there are guys that are really great at it and certainly way better than I would be at doing something like that. But how do you do that? How do you have your son has just injured a child who it looks like is going to have permanent brain damage and never be the same, and you just go about coaching in a football game?
Because you get judged on the result. Like, when we start talking about how many championships somebody won, you know, what the score of the Super Bowl was, you don't get the context. I mean, it's very rarely do you get the context too, right? Like, that's not included. Like, as far as most people know, Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Like, it's almost like you compartmentalize, right? Like, it's Andy Reid, the coach, and then secondarily, it's Andy Reid also is actually a human being.
Exactly right. And you're paying your money, your hard-earned money, to watch Andy Reid, the coach, not Andy Reid, the dad, Andy Reid,
right,
the human being.
And as much as you care, you don't really care. Like, as much as you think you care, as much of a good person as you think you are, you're number one, and I'm certainly the leader in the clubhouse with this. Your number one priority and number one goal is, did my team win? Did you play well? Was there success?
Well, just think about why you watch sports or why we have so much fun, you know, talking sports, especially during a pandemic like this. For these 3 hours, it's all those things that we're dealing with.
Go away. Home,
they go away. So when you go, I mean, when you turn on a baseball game or a football game, that's why, I mean, you're using it as an escape from your own problems. The last thing you want to do is hear about someone else's problems on top right. of what you're dealing with. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
It's like when you call your mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I can't even call and say, how you doing anymore. Because if she answers the phone and I say, hey, how you doing? 5 minutes later, I'm hearing about like a virus that she had. So now I have taken to another tact where I just call and I'm like, what's going on? Like I try to run through things quickly, rapid fire, rapid style.
Yeah, you can't open it up with how you doing. That's
how you
Pandora's
doing is a
box.
Bad question. But I've learned.
Yeah, well, I mean, it only took you almost 50 years to figure that one out.
Yeah, it's... How about the fact that Aaron Boone and I are same year, 3 days apart?
It's amazing. Amazing. I mean, if you took away his athletic ability,
right.
his good looks.
Tremendous family heritage.
It'd be you.
Yes. Unbelievable success. Yeah, all those things, he'd be me. Because we are, as I've said, only 3 days apart. You have any big plans for my birthday next Friday, by the way?
I do have some big plans.
Really?
Yeah, big Price is Right. Big birthday edition of Price is Right.
I'm telling you, if we get a sponsor, if Drew Carey calls and says, I want to be involved, and we have, you know, the game sponsored by a huge thing, I'm going to get an endorsement fee. I am never doing the Prices Right with you guys.
I guarantee if I hired a company
uh-huh.
that brought in the wheel and we had Plinko, all the bells and whistles, you would do it in a heartbeat.
No. And I'll tell you why. Because if I spin the wheel, you guys would weight it down so it landed on like 35 cents. And then if I did Plinko, it would be magnetized so it didn't land and it would land on the zero every time. No, I am never. I don't trust anything with you guys. You're a cheater!
Well, I can't rely on Canty. Like, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to rig it, I'm going to have to do it by myself. Because clearly he can't do it. He can't cheat the right way.
I mean, we're getting at, like, how much are a dozen white potatoes? The answer is $3.99, and he says $3.98.
Nobody guesses
$98. Coming on the heels of it being $5 off on toilet paper. How could you be $5 off on toilet paper?
$5!
See, that's where he ruined it for himself. The toilet paper discrepancy is what first put you onto the scent. Because as soon as he's that far off on the toilet paper, now you know in your mind that you don't feel like he's going to be good at this game. And then boom, 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 he's by the penny.
Did you think there was any chance that I was just going to play through the whole game, not have a reaction, or you think at some point I was going to lose it?
I was hoping at some point you were going to lose it, but more towards the end, not quit halfway through. I thought that, like, I was going out of my way to make sure I was putting the number, like, where I knew I would be close enough where I would probably win, but hoping that, or knowing that Canty would win, but you would never win. But the fact that, you know, Mike, the secret, like, the sneaky funniest part for me of that whole thing was, is when I bet, when we, I think it was the first or the second one, I said 349, and you were like, oh, I was going to go there.
Were you exactly right?
I was exactly right, and you're like, 348.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, yeah, I mean, it was well done, but it was cheating at the finest level.
It wasn't, though. It wasn't cheating at the finest level. It was awful. It was, I'm telling you.
Why, you don't think he played his role properly?
No.
So if you were ever going to rob a bank, Canty would not be someone you would go with.
No, I would go with him because I think he'd be, I mean, look at the size of him. I think he'd be great. He'd be intimidating when we walk in.
No, because you know what he'd do? The way he cheated and as transparent as he was the other day, he'd probably walk in and be like, hello, I'm Chris Canty. We want your money.
He denied it. No, it'd be like that. It'd be like the Snickers commercial where the guy shows up with the pantyhose, but they're...
Yeah, they'd show up at his house and be like, Chris, we know that you were involved in the robbery. No, I wasn't. I was not there. Chris, we have your photo. It's not me. It's doctored. Not me. I'm a Super Bowl champion. That's what he would do.
You can see his whole face.
Yeah. Chris, we have visual confirmation. That was not me.
I do like the fact he denied it, though. He did not. He never came clean. He denied it till the end.
He still hasn't come clean.
Because he won't. That's why I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sneaky
that's
like
good.
That.
He won't snitch on you, that's for sure. You do get pinched in that bank robbery you guys are going to do. All right. So you ready for your first hit with the next guy?
Yes.
That hit on my wife at some point. All right.
You can say hit on. You hope they just hit on your wife.
I just want you to know I got this smoking this hot wife out here.
What she did
would
before
it change,
me is, that's her
would
business.
It, okay, would it change, though, if it was one of these A-list celebrities that actually slept with your wife?
I think that'd be great.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Ugh. No, I don't. I can't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that either. I was just saying that for radio's sake. I can't continue that. But no, in all actuality, if she did have relations with someone like that, I mean, it's not awful for me. Like, I can't beat her up for things she did prior to knowing me. If I came home next week and Brad Pitt was in my bed and having time with her, no, I wouldn't like that.
Well, you could probably jump in a little thruple action.
I'm not.
No, but doesn't a little piece of you? I mean, seriously. I mean, if that had happened, like, say she had relations with Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think, like, you know, Tuesday night, you and her getting busy, like, in her mind, she's not, you know, thinking about, I wish this was John Cusack.
Like that kind of party?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you recognize how good, in fact, I can be.
You don't think she goes into the bank? We all have a bank. You don't think she goes into the bank? She's like, oh.
You have a bank?
No, you know what kind of bank I'm talking about.
I don't have a bank.
Of course you will.
No, I don't have a bank.
Everybody. RJ,
no.
Do you have a bank?
The only person I think of is my beautiful wife, ever.
I don't think Rick's necessarily referring to...
Yes, I'm not referring
in the
to...
action.
In the, yes, not... No. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
When you're playing isolation ball.
Oh, yes. James Harden kind of stuff you're talking about.
Yes, right.
Oh.
Dribble, dribble, dribbles.
Not a pick and roll situation.
Oh, yeah. All right, so do you want the... I like how RJ has to hop in and explain it to me. Do you want the...
I was concerned as to where we would end up.
Yeah, thank you for that. All right. This next hitter on my wife was in a classic sports movie.
Classic sports movie.
A classic sports movie. And I'll even one-up it.
Okay.
I believe it's based on a book about a different sport. And I'll leave it at that.
Book about a different sport.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is my first clue in the third.
It's a good hint.
Revision of this game.
Are you impressed? Are you impressed at all that I got the first two as quickly as I got the first two?
No. I think you've done well, but I think these are, like I said, these are big celebrities.
Yeah, but you didn't give me much with the first one. I mean, you barely gave me anything with the first one.
Yeah, you did well. You've done well. We'll see how you do in this one. I'll give another clue in the next couple of minutes as well. The first clue, sports movie. I think when I tell you what sports movie this is, you'll say, yeah, that is one of my favorite sports movies.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're on to the third of the four. Fourth is a monster. Third, pretty big as well. I've given you, he was in a very well-known and popular sports movie. You have any idea who that is?
No.
All right. He is a New Yorker. Will be the second clue for you. He is a New Yorker, yes.
Classic sports movie based on a book, you said.
Great sports movie.
And he's a New Yorker.
And a New Yorker.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so you can...
It's a pretty good list she has.
She's got a great list. She doesn't need a laminated list.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, I mean, to say I'm concerned would be, I think, an understatement.
Why?
How good this list is.
It's a good list. I feel proud.
Because I always say, I mean, you're as loyal as your options. These are some damn good options.
Well, these were options pre-me. Now that she has me, these are not options anymore.
I'm a big star, you know.
I'm just saying, I mean, if she has, I mean, these kind of options, just anytime she sits down anywhere by herself, it's intimidating.
She's funny, though. She'll be like, and you are the least, like, I am so non-jealous. She could say I'm going out with this guy for a night. We're going to dinner. I'm like, all right, great. Have a nice time. Like, I trust her implicitly. B, my thought is if someone's going to cheat on you, they're going to cheat on you. So go do it what you want to do. It's fine.
Yeah, you say that now until it actually happens. The one positive.
You're a cheater! You're a cheater!
The multiple positives here, but the biggest positive for me is the fact that she is so in love with you, mm-hmm, that at the time she's being hit on, she doesn't even She doesn't even realize because she's just not available. In her mind, she's not available.
No, it was pre-me. She was available, I think, some of the times.
How would you not know then?
Well, I don't. I would imagine these guys are dating history of what month she was dating who and when guys hit on her before I was in the picture.
No, I know, but I mean, if you're sitting there and you're just dating somebody else, and all of a sudden, I mean, you got these A-list celebrities talking you up, chatting you up a little bit.
Yeah, listen, she's a very popular lady. All right, let's get to a couple calls, and we'll get to this Trevor Bauer story, which broke yesterday. I don't know how to feel about this one. Let's go to, all right, I'll give you a treat here. Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar. You're next up on 98.7.
How are you? Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Omar. Are we going to get heated, or are we going to stay relaxed during this call today?
I am going to be heated. I'm still upset on yesterday, because when I read, when I am in a mood that, okay, finally they have crossed over 500 and they are 18 and 17, and then you have a team that plays in overtime, right? And then they're, I don't think he's the best player in it, or with it out, and some unnamed players are there, and your team doesn't show up. They stink, basically, in the third quarter, and I'm reading columns, the coach of the year. I told you 3 or 4 games already this year. Orlando game before when we were 2-2 or 3-1, Oklahoma Thunder game, and this game. And there's another one of them. When we are about to take a step towards the positivity, it derails you. And I understand the talent-wise. But yesterday game, don't tell me DeRozan has, I don't know how much he finished with, but at the time, 9 points and 9 assists, and everybody else is hitting 3-pointers. If you have a game plan that you are not aligned
to... Omar, can I interrupt you for a second here? And I know you would go on till we're done at 8 o'clock, but let me just throw in here for a little bit. And you know I love the Knicks, and you know that I'm a passionate fan. How can you be that upset? Like, they were 18 and 17. They fall to 500. They've had a sensational first half. I mean, you went into this game with your third-string point guard getting the start. For the life of me, I don't understand how you're that upset with the loss against San Antonio from the other night.
Dave, it has been 2 weeks now. Remember we talked about against Orlando 1.5 weeks ago that we are going to cross over that 500 mark and we are not going to look back? 18 and 17 and tonight game, even Detroit Pistons are playing back-to-back. You better win it.
Omar, I will tell you this. I agree with you on that, and I said it to Rick and Chris yesterday. If you lose the game tonight, I would feel like you feel right now tomorrow morning. But from the game the other night against the Spurs, Rick, am I wrong? I didn't feel at all upset about that game. I was disappointed in how they played in the second half, but I wasn't heartbroken about that loss.
Dave, there are some stages in a season that you have to take a step forward. And that was the game when you have San Antonio Spurs playing overtime with Brooklyn Nets, who played hard up to the level. And in the back-to-back situation, I think the league is under 30% or 31%. So if you are the team that is going to rise and basically expect somebody and you're going to do some damage and you're going to take a step forward, you have to win that game last night. And the same thing happened to the Orlando Magic. Like, why do we lose that Orlando Magic game when we were 16-6 and taking a step? Now we are 2 weeks behind the schedule going forward. We still have to look at, we are going to be after the All-Star game. You have 4 games on the road. If you go 4-4 the way you played last night.
Why are we screaming and yelling? I don't understand. Thanks for the call. Rick, this is, I love Omar. I think he's one of the great callers we have. And I never think he's embellishing his craziness. I'm not a fan of that wild call there.
I don't love the take.
Such a horrible loss the other night.
No, listen, I wasn't happy that they lost. I mean,
no,
I was
happy that your team loses.
Well, no, I mean, I was more upset with it. Looked like they kind of waved the white flag, which I didn't love. But I mean, I said it yesterday. I mean, the game against Detroit tonight, headed into the All-Star break, is a can't lose game. This is for the fan base. This is for the players inside that locker room.
Because Detroit stinks. I mean, San Antonio is an above 500 team. They're a good team. They took the Nets to overtime the night before.
Yeah, and you find out right before the game that your starting point guard can't play because of safety protocols, because of an inconclusive test, and you got a guy that was out of your rotation that's barely played, and all of a sudden is your starting point guard. And they played good in the first half, and it was close
well.
To that. I mean,
that play at the end of the first half really, I thought, took a lot of steam out as well.
It killed them, and they started making. I mean, they started making threes in the third quarter. I think they made 7 threes in the third quarter, and it was night. But I mean, listen, this to start criticizing the coach and expecting to win these games. I mean, they are so
they
far
are?
Ahead. I mean, they're so far ahead of where they should be right now. Yeah, I don't understand who he thinks the Knicks are.
I mean, isn't this who they – they're a 500 team. That's pretty beautiful. And where is he when they win that great game? You know, where is he on Monday morning when they beat Indiana on Sunday and they beat Detroit – or Saturday and they beat Detroit on Sunday and we're so excited? Like, where are you then? If you're going to call us after the loss to San Antonio, then be fair about it. You know, and how about the win against Milwaukee? And how about the win against Boston? How about the win on Saturday against Indiana? Those are tremendous wins for this team. So be fair.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I would feel, if the Knicks lose tonight, I would
Oh, no, I would feel a way about that.
They can't lose this game tonight. This is a have-to-win game.
Completely. All right, you ready for your next clue?
Yep.
This is probably going to give it away, but it's fine because we're getting towards the end of the hour. Stand-up comedian. Stand-up comedian.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Quickly, though, let's spend a couple of minutes on this Trevor Bauer story. It sounds like he was very close to being a member of the New York Mets, Rick.
Yeah, for the wrong reasons, though. I mean, according to his agent, I guess when, you know, all of a sudden on his website, the merchandise coming out Mets related.
Yep.
And I mean, it got to a point where I guess he said to his agent, you know, it's over. And he uses, I mean, it's effing over. I'm done. Make sure you call the Dodgers and tell them it's going to be, and didn't even say the Mets, it's going to be the other team. He's going to sign with the other team.
But doesn't that strike you as bizarre? Could you, I mean, there's a mistake. You know, your jersey has come out in the Mets colors and a Mets jersey on your website, and now all of a sudden you're willing to change the next 3 years potentially of your life instead of just owning it.
I don't believe the story. I don't believe the story. I mean, this is, and he tells her, I can't do that to a fan base. The decision's been made.
So you think he's full of it?
I think he's full of it.
So you know, he's great, but maybe they got lucky here because I will tell you what, he's a handful to deal with.
No, he's definitely a handful. I mean, he's a huge personality that you're going to have to manage. But, I mean, let's face it, it's a short-term deal. And if slotted behind Jacob DeGrom is lights out and helps you win a World Series, who cares?
Oh, of course. Of course. But you know what? Honestly, sitting here right now, I'm fine with either way. I really am. If they would have gotten him, I would be excited about it. And not getting him and adding Walker and looking at what they're going to be and seeing the constant attention he draws to himself for seemingly no reason and a lot of it negative, I'm fine without landing him as well.
I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree because I think, I mean, he would have been a nice fit for what the Mets need. But, I mean, they bring in Walker. I'm still concerned about the bullpen. But if it means – here's how I'll finish it. If it means that all of a sudden now we have the ability to get Conforto done, we're definitely going to get Lindor done, I would imagine. And then depending on how Syndergaard looks.
Right.
Like if that was part of the reasoning that, you know, they didn't go a little extra, but I mean, the deal they made was a great deal.
It was.
He just clearly wanted to be a Dodger.
He wanted to. He's from out there. He wanted to be a Dodger. You can't blame them for making that offer. And maybe it's a win-win for everybody. Maybe the Dodgers win and the Mets will wind up winning long term. Let's see what he is. Let's see what he turns into. All right, let's get to some of these calls. Let's go to Aaron Long Beach. Aaron, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you, Aaron?
Good, thanks. I wanted to talk about, I noticed a trend between the three guys you guys have spoken about in the past hour. You guys spoke about Trevor Bauer, James Harden, and I want to throw one into the picture, Antonio Brown. These guys all are, you know, they sound like complete prima donnas, and they're all demanding this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got to deal with the repercussions from the fan base in terms of, like, how, you know, we got to tolerate this nonsense. Why can't we give them the Antonio Brown treatment? You know, these guys. I get it, the stardom, this, that, and the other. They deliver a lot on the court, field, whatever it is. But Antonio Brown got the silent treatment for a while before he was signed by the Buccaneers.
Well, Antonio Brown's a different story, though, no?
Yeah, but I think, I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, he was burning bridges all over the place, too. I mean, he was at a point where...
I mean, he almost ruined his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, he froze his feet off, and then we had the whole helmet thing, and it's... I mean, his problems were away from the field, too. I mean, he had legal problems.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair to lump Harden. As unlikable as you might find them, and the way they kind of have dealt with things, you can't lump them into the Antonio Brown
situation. No, but don't act surprised. I mean, this is how it is in sports. I mean, your talent dictates how long your leash is.
That's
right. If you're as good as James Harden and you see how good he is, then you're willing to put up with a lot of the extra stuff you have to deal with.
But isn't it that way anywhere? At a company, the best sales guy is going to get a longer leash than a guy that can barely make his weight. No, the better people, the bigger star is going to be allowed to get away with more stuff at work, off the field, whatever the case may be, than someone who's just a guy.
Yeah, it all depends on your production. I mean,
if your production is at a high level, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt more often than not.
In how much you mean to whatever company you work for.
That's right.
So, I mean, it sucks, yeah, because you got to deal with it, and some of the stuff is just, it's nonsensical, and it shouldn't, I mean, you shouldn't have to deal with it, but the reality is if that guy helps you win, if that guy helps, you know, owners make money, then they're going to have jobs.
Pasquale in the Bronx is next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Gentlemen, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to respond to Omar. Omar. You know, I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm so happy right now. I'm beside myself. This guy Omar will find something wrong with anything, and it's quite aggravating, to be honest with you. I'm just happy to watch them play well right now, just to sit down and watch a whole game.
I think what Omar did today, and typically, and thanks to the call, Pasquale, typically I love Omar, and I think he's great. I think today almost felt like fake outrage to me. Like, he's that horrified with the loss against San Antonio? Come on.
I don't think he can be that outraged. Omar pisses me off anyway, though. Like, the days that we need him.
Right? I mean, the Bills are winning or losing games. He's nowhere to be found. The Knicks had a great weekend. We don't hear from him. And then for some reason, he thought the Spurs game was last night, but it's two nights ago, and now he's calling in. You know, as they play tonight, all horrified with that loss? Come on.
Yeah,
priorities,
that's not the loss.
Tonight, out of whack.
Yeah, tonight's the game.
Tonight's the
one they have to win.
You're gonna hear me turn into Omar tomorrow if they lose this game tonight. I will be very upset.
They're not going to lose tonight. They feel good about that.
Cannot lose this game tonight. All right, let's go to Brian in Manhattan. Brian, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Omar is like a Yelp reviewer. You know, he never writes about the restaurant that he had a great time at. He only mentions the bad things. But as it relates to the Knicks, you know, Tom Thibodeau was sort of a man without a job, right? He was sort of castigated as this old-time coach who played his guys too many minutes, who was too tough on them, who made them too many things. He would never be a successful coach in the NBA again. And frankly, a lot of people were surprised when he was hired by the Knicks. Do you guys think that he's changed somewhat like Tom Coughlin changed? I remember, I think it was Mike Strahan that relates a story that says that, you know, Tom Coughlin changed his personality for the better. It allowed the Giants to win, allowed the players to relax a little bit. Do you think that's going on? And if it is, do you think that's enough to get, you know, premise, like we were talking about, players who want it their way, to get guys like that to come to the Knicks?
I think winning is going to be the way you get guys, you know, that want to come to the Knicks. I heard Bobby Marks yesterday talking about that very thing, and, you know, has the conversation surrounding the Knicks changed as far as it, you know, being a safe place to come if you're a big-time free agent. He said, yeah, already he's getting fired. I mean, it's around the league, the New York Knicks seem like a functional organization now. I don't know. Thank God is right. I mean, I think it's more about picking, you know, having the right players. You know, Thibs having the right players that respond to the way he coaches. I mean, he's still playing the hell out of these guys.
They play a lot of minutes.
They play a ton of minutes.
You can see why he would wear on certain teams. You can. And certain players. Because he takes every game and treats every game as if it's game 7. Which I think the fan base loves. And I could see that some players might not love it.
Well, no. He's demanding, too. I mean, it just... Listen, I mean, there's plenty of times during games that, you know, one turnover, all of a sudden momentum starts to change. You're out of the game. We're going to put someone else in. Or, you know, we don't trust R.J. Barrett yet in the fourth quarter, so he's going to come out of the game. Yeah, I mean, he could wear on you, but I mean, if you're having the success that the Knicks are having right now,
you can't complain about it.
Can't complain.
The Knicks fan can't complain about it. All right, I know you want to do an observations, and we'll get there in a moment. And the last thing I want to do is shortchange you and be yelled at by you. But I want to hear Bobby Marks from the K Show yesterday discussing the perception of the Knicks is kind of changing around the NBA right now.
Are you getting a sense that this team is close to kind of shredding that whole nobody wants to play here?
Oh, yeah, I am. And I think you talk to people around the league, and yeah, I think it's, you know, similar to what, you know, I know I've talked about Brooklyn a lot. You know, it's similar to what Brooklyn was able to do. And that was, I mean, when they got Durant and Kyrie, I mean, what were they, like 42 and 40? You know, right. I mean, they were just, they were a team that got in as the 7th seed. They showed that they had a, a really good front office. You know, Kenny was still there as the coach. Brooklyn was a draw from the city, certainly New York City. And there was that foundation in place with the younger players like, like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie. And I think that I've always said, like, New York, the best thing for New York to do is kind of emulate what the Nets did.
So there you have it. That's Bobby Marks yesterday on the K Show. And it kind of feels like the Knicks are getting past that hump of being, you know, for lack of a better term, Rick, the laughing stock of the NBA, where all of a sudden maybe it is somewhat of an attractive place for guys to wind up, or at least not somewhere that they look at and say, I'm not going there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've hired the right people so far. I mean, it seems like they've hired the right people. I mean, Leon Rose and Worldwide West were brought in because they have strong relationships, and that's been the case. They got a really good coaching staff. I mean, I think the addition of Kenny Payne and that tie to Kentucky has been huge for them. And I mean, this is what he does, man. I mean, Thibs is a really good coach.
He gets the most out of his teams, which is, you know, very, very commendable. All right. As a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job, and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit in your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. All right. It's your observation, so I don't want to rain on your parade. Do you want another clue, or do you want to get right to it?
Give me a clue, and then we'll go right into the observations.
All right, I'm going to give you I think this will be the clue de grace. You like that? All right. This man who once hit on my wife was on Saturday Night Live.
SNL, comedian from New York, classic sports movie. I'm having a hard time with this one.
And you wanted such props for the first two you got. You want to bring in the relievers? You want to bring in RJ?
They don't know either.
RJ, you have no idea who this is?
I'm disappointed in myself.
I know who it is.
All right, what do you got?
I don't feel good about it. I'm going to guess. Colin Quinn.
Nope. Nope.
All right, tell me who it is.
I think this is a much higher level celebrity, I think, than Colin Quinn. I'll give you one more, and this will be it, and then you'll all get it. He is currently a late night talk show host.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Yeah. It was at SNL.
What is she wearing to these events?
Have you ever seen her? She's very understated.
No, I understand that. I mean, we're talking, I mean, this is, we got Cusack, we got Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
We got Rick Pitino.
And I didn't even get to the big one yet.
This is Pat Sullivan coming at you from Fenway Park. I'm here with my girl Denise.
Clues I thought were very good there, by the way. You would agree, Fever Pitch, terrific, underrated sports movie, right?
Yeah, you had me screwed up with the Fever Pitch. I was having a hard time trying to identify which sports movie you're talking about.
Yeah, I understand.
And I should know that, too. I mean, that's a Boston-based movie.
Yeah, you should, but you didn't. The next one you'll get. The next one is
Clooney.
It's like a five-star recruit.
I got right now in my mind, it's either Rob Lowe, George Clooney.
Rob Lowe would be a nice one, too.
Or John Stamos.
Stamos, yeah.
Stamos is handsome.
Very handsome. All right, let's not have this conversation. Canty would be very upset wherever he is at the moment. Let's bring you into a little segment we like to call Nobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. Another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations. We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Nob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, David. I got stories. I got sound. You name it. I got it.
Well, let's go.
Today's Nobservations. So let's start with this one because I teased it yesterday. We had Mel Kiper, the great Mel Kiper, who I'm having a hard time trusting now because I was listening to the Carlin last night. Apparently, Mel Kiper likes mashed potatoes on his pizza.
Yeah, that's repulsive.
I don't even know how you would get to the point where you had mashed potatoes on the pizza.
Yeah, what do you think happened? Like, why would you think he would ever even try something like that?
No idea. I've had potato on a pizza. I have never had mashed potatoes
mashed
on the
potatoes.
Pizza.
Ugh.
Yeah, that makes no sense. So the great Mel Kiper had the Jets trading down in his last mock draft from 2 to 4. And with the fourth pick, which, I mean, Dave's head almost exploded, they were taking Florida tight end Kyle Pitts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I teased this yesterday. There's someone that actually believes that the Jets shouldn't even think about trading down from 2 to 4. They should just take Kyle Pitts at number 2. And that person is Dave. One Colin Coward.
Ugh.
He said the only reason you wouldn't do this is the fear of being mocked. If Trevor Lawrence isn't in this draft, he's the only, Kyle Pitts, is the only guaranteed star.
I can't fathom that you would take the tight end second. And he might be great. You don't, I'm sorry. I live by the adage, you do not take a tight end that early in the draft ever. And I will follow that up with by saying, you don't ever take a running back that early either. There are positions that you can't take top 5. Tight end, running back fall firmly on that list.
Yeah. So here's another one. I don't know why guys keep doing this. I guess it makes no sense to me. So we had Kyrie kind of going after LeBron James. You know, now I feel like playing with Kevin Durant, I have someone I can trust in the last second of a game to make the shot. Or is this your best free throw shooter? So Brandon Ingram, who also played with LeBron, on Zion Williamson. This was his quote. I've never played with a player as talented as me. I'm really? Do they just forget that they play with LeBron James? Or is it like, is it they doing this on purpose?
You know, when they get traded, they remember.
It's amazing to me. Like, why even? Stupid. All right, we got sound for this one.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure if you heard this or not, but this is trending as one of my favorite commercials on television right now.
My sub will help you put points on the board, unlike some other subs.
Why would you say that, Jason?
Hey, man, I'm just talking about subs here.
Oh, come on.
My sub is going to throw down.
My sub has more rings than your sub.
My sub has bacon.
So love bacon. That's Jason Tatum and Draymond Green doing the Subway commercial.
But my sub has bacon.
My sub has
love bacon.
My sub has more rings than yours. I don't know why Tom Brady wants to keep doing this, but he does. I mean, just when you start to, like, as a Jets fan, I don't want to say root for him, but you're not terrified that he won. Good story, 43 years old, goes to a new team, kind of like, screw you, Bill Belichick. He can't help himself. So he was on James Corden, and this is what he had to say.
Being completely honest, yeah. You have zero chance. Zero.
But I think I've got the physique, no? I feel like with your guidance, you don't think you could even get me halfway there?
You know what? I think you're so talented. You can't be great at everything. Look at you.
But
you're,
surely, okay, I might not make Tampa, but I could play for the Jets.
You might be able to play for the Jets.
There you go. That's
actually,
all I needed.
Right.
That's all
that.
I needed.
What are we doing here?
You're the punchline. Until you're not the punchline, you're the punchline.
It's got to stop, Dave. It has to stop.
I think it will. I think it will.
I mean, this guy hasn't enough of beating us up. Now he's gone and he still wants to take shots?
But it wasn't even him. You got late night hosts are making fun of you like that.
That's true.
The fact it's that not like Brady led him there. He led Brady there and Brady just, you know, just jumped on the pile.
And the fact that Corden knows that how bad the Jets are.
The guy's not
concerning.
Even an American and he knows.
It's concerning. I don't know if you've seen this story. Did you see this this Terry Bradshaw story?
I love this story. Yeah, I heard I think Greeny talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, so Terry Bradshaw, he went to this is way back a Louisiana hospital and underwent minor surgery on his elbow. And during his stay, he did all the things, made rounds and everything else, but he didn't want anyone to know. So when he went into the hospital, he went in under the name of Thomas Brady.
And this was 1983. Right.
How crazy is that?
That's weird, right?
That's really weird.
I wonder if this is definitely true. This isn't like one of those Snopes stories.
I'm sitting here looking at it. I have it. It's from Quirky Research. I'm looking at the article that was in the paper. So, I mean, unless they completely made the thing up. But
did you hear the other story that Costas told Greeny yesterday?
No, what was it?
So I guess Don King, it was at Muhammad Ali's funeral, and Don King was there, and I guess he would walk up to every kind of important person and you know, say hi. And, you know, he'd be like, Pat Riley. Yeah, I mean, the coach of all coaches. And Pat Riley, good to see you. So lovely to see you. And Katie Couric, you know, the anchor of all anchors. So good to see you. So nice to see you. And then he walked up to Bob Costas, and he says, Michael J. Fox, great to see you. So good to see you. And he's like, Bob Costas, not Michael J. Fox. And without skipping a beat, he's like, unbelievable announcer, great announcer, Bob Costas. Thank you so much. Good to be here. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Last one for observations. I saw this the other day. RJ was going to do it earlier in the week, but I figured I'd save it for today. So this was a Fox News report in San Diego. This guy is actually making his report, and this is what's going on in the background.
The convention, citing the ongoing pandemic as the reason for the cancellation, this is a big, big loss. We spoke to Trevor Christensen, who owns Activation Pros. They help staff about 200 people every year during the Comic-Con. There's something going on here in the distance. I think we have an officer-involved shooting. We're going to kind of stay back as much as we possibly can. Steven, my photographer, is zooming in across the street.
Oh, my God. How did he keep his composure like that?
That's what I'm saying. He keeps doing the report, and he's, like, looking down on his phone if you watch the video, and he's still reading the report. And as he hears the first gunshots, he kind of starts, like, moving to his – it would be his left. But he doesn't skip a beat.
Well, he's a pro's pro, huh?
Pro. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. You start hearing guns.
I'd be in the fetal position under the car, you know, out of any harm's way. And this guy continues talking about Comic-Con as there's weaponry going on behind him.
Yeah, he's hanging in the pocket. He's staring down the barrel.
Yeah, he's
really
going to
deliver
is.
That report.
Takes the blitz all the way through. Good for him.
All right, here we go. I lied. This is the last one. Great news. If anyone's wondering where Dave is going to go with all his vacation time, it looks like Dave will be heading to China, everybody. Oh. Dave is going to visit China because Dave is going to love this. They've made anal COVID-19 swabs mandatory for all foreign travelers.
I am thermometer boy right now. Hang on a moment. The only way you can get the test is by getting it that way, or that's an option to get it that way?
No, that's it. Mandatory for all
Dave,
foreign travelers.
My temperature taken rectally as a child. Why?
Because apparently they said these provide a higher degree of accuracy.
Uh-huh.
Because, this is because they say the virus traces stay longer in fecal samples than they do in the nose or throat.
That's right. Like the temperature is more appropriately taken in the rump, in the rear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That is a Thursday edition of Observations.
Beautiful. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. The head coach of the Rangers, David Quinn, will join us in just a moment. And the first three, you would agree, that have hit on Sherry, very, very good, right? High level, high quality?
Yeah, I mean, I did not expect it to be this good.
Wait till you hear the fourth of the four.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.